الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Quran al-Kareem, last kitab of Allah, and we are from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have been discussing, the deen, Sharia, can be substantiated from Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. Substantiation and argumentation and the sources of derivation in Islam are these four. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, they loved the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that when we start narrating how they loved the Sunnah, it is mind-boggling. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala who was journeying between Makkah and Medina, he came to a place while seated on his camel, and then he asked his companions, is this a particular place? They said yes. Then he lowered his head while moving. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in asked him, why do you lower your head at this spot here? Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that I journeyed with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at this spot here there was a tree and its branches came across the road, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to avoid the branches, lowered his head here. He lowered his head. So in emulation of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am lowering my head here. Sahaba said that, but the tree is not there. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, I also know that, let alone the tree is not here, the Nabi is also not here. But at this spot, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lowered his head. In love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emulating and imitating Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also lower my head here. How minute they're following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same journey, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala who is going on, he dismounts from his camel and then he goes a little way and he sits down, giving the impression that he is passing out urine, and then he comes back. His companions ask him that you went there to that area but you did not pass out any urine, but you came back. He said again, at this spot Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dismounted and he went to that place where I went, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed urine there. I also dismounted here. I also went to that spot, but in respect of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I did not urinate there. This is love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed by Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he addressed one Ansari youngster, he told him that, come here, why is your garment Why is your garment below your ankle? Are you a hermaphrodite? Are you a hermaphrodite? Strong word he used. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, so he called for a knife, and there and then he cut off that portion which was flowing below the ankles. Respected elders, this is adherence to Sunnah, this is love of Sunnah, this is conformity to Deen, this is conformity to Sharia, this is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Sahaba, that is why Sahaba are so noble, and that is why Sahaba are blessed, that is why Sahaba, Allah is happy with them and they are happy with Allah. That is why Sahaba are adul, that is why Sahaba are Jannatis. And that is why the actions of Sahaba are proof in Sharia. And according to Hanafi school of thought, that the action of even one Sahabi is a proof in Sharia. Respected elders, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith stated that there are three umurs, there are three matters. One matter is totally of hidayah, totally of good. You should adhere to it, hold fast to it, stick to it. And one matter is totally misled, umrah. You should totally abstain from that. And the third matter is doubtful. Leave that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one matter you hold fast to, and one matter is totally wrong, leave it. And one matter is doubtful, put that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the discussion is that anything, when you look at anything, is it permissible? Is it halal? Is it haram? Is it not permissible? Or is it what we call mubaha, Arabic word mubaha, which people wrongly translate as permissible? I'll explain to you what is mubaha. And is it what we call mawkuf? Is it suspended, waiting, awaiting a decision? Those who say, no, everything, anything that which you want to assess, for example, if you have a radio, or if you have to have a spectacle, or if you have to have a microwave, or if you do any action, or you buy and sell in a particular manner, or you buy and sell in a particular manner that was not in existence during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you do a certain action and it was not prevalent in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain people say it's permissible. Everything starts permissible later to be classified. Respected elders, Alama Badruddin Naini Ramtullah alayhi says that this is the view of the Mu'tazila. And this is not the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat view. This is the view of the Mu'tazilas, that everything is permissible. Why? When you say everything is permissible, then anybody and everybody will be doing whatever he wants to do. Because you say, no, there is no ruling against it, so it is permissible. The argument is, there is no ruling against it, so it's permissible. Then those who say it is haram, everything is haram, there is a group of scholars that say, yes, initially you will say everything is haram, and then you will start classifying it later. And you will see in history, some juror consultants have held this view, that anything they said is haram, then they started classifying it. Look at radio, look at telephone, look at cell phone, look at internet, look at the rulings about what I've spoken, about salat on the train, salat in the ship, salat on the airways. First, the view was low, it's haram. Now they have come into some classification. Mubha. Mubha is an Arabic word, wrongly translated as permissible. Actual translation supposed to be, you do the action, no problem. You don't do the action, no problem. That's a simple translation of mubha. You do it, no problem. You don't do it, no problem. But the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat view about anything is, it is mawkuf. Mawkuf meaning it is suspended. Anything, whether it deals with transactions, mamalat, whether it deals with ibadat, that is worship, any new action, anything, Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat view is that it is suspended. Meaning the ruling has to be made on it. Then after discussion, deliberation, discourse, and after exchange, academic exchange, there'll be a ruling made on it. And that is the correct view, and that is the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat view. As far as the view of haram, which some prominent scholars hold, then the tadbiq, the academic collaboration of that view is that this haram is referring to ibadat. This ruling of haram is referring to ibadat, and as far as mamalat is concerned, then that is halal, permissible, or it is mubah. Respected elders, now we see, alhamdulillah, lot of activity taking place. And people, due to short-sightedness, they say, no, this is not an innovation. For example, they say, Quran Kareem, why do you write it? And why do you publish it? And why do you print it? And why do you put it into two covers? And they say, no, this here is wrong. Whereas their claim is erroneous and fallacious. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran al-Kareem, Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi in Insan, states clearly that Quran al-Kareem was completely written during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the art and science of writing existed in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the very life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the complete Quran was written. So writing of the Quran is not an innovation. Writing of the Quran and then sending it out to various places is also not an innovation, because in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he is called Jami' al-Quran, the one who coordinated and collected the Quran, and after collecting the Quran on the Quraysh dialect and standardization of Quran on the Quraysh dialect, then he sent it out to the various cities of the Muslim Empire. So writing of Quran is not an innovation. The publishing of Quran is not an innovation. And the spreading of Quran is not an innovation. Which certain people feel, oh, that is it. Respected elders. Then they say, oh, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no zabar zair pesh. How come today we have got zabar zair pesh? We should not be having zabar zair pesh. Student of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, according to some, Hazrat Duwali Ramtullah Ali, he, on the instruction of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he put on the zabar zair pesh, because now Islam was spreading and the Quran was going to various places, and the non-Arabs who are not accustomed, like how we are not accustomed to the intricacies of the grammar and syntax and the etymology of the Quran Kareem, then the zabar zair pesh was put on for the benefit of the Ajami, the non-Arabs, that was put on, and who, on the instruction of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and what the Sahaba did comes part of Islam. So that also is nothing, is not an innovation. Some people say that, how come you, ulama ikram, before the Jummah khutbah you give a bayan? And where have you got that proven from? In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he should stand before Hazrat Umar came to make the Friday khutbah, and he should narrate ahadithes. Just as how we are talking now, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should stand and address the public and narrate ahadithes, sayings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one upon another. And as soon as Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should come, he should stop. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I narrate hadithes from memory, but Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is better, because he writes it even. Let alone Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar writing it. Now it has been proven academically that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu should also write the hadiths. And Maulana Professor Hamidullah rahmatullah alayhi of Paris, he compiled the hadiths of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he put the references linking it to the Siyar Sittah. Respected elders, Hazrat Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, prominent Sahabi. He was a Sahabi, he was the Batuta of the time, moving around and making journeys upon journeys, and he's the one who narrates the famous story about Dajjal, and he saw Dajjal. He told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I want to narrate incidents Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, first he told him, no, you must not do that. Then he told him, okay, permission granted. Hazrat Tamim Dari rahmatullah alayhi should, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, should narrate stories and incidents of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to the official Jummah khutbah. So this is no innovation. Hazrat Abdullah bin Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu also should do the same thing. Should narrate hadiths and stories prior to the Jummah khutbah. Respected elders, then they say, no, why you have got lights in your masjid? Why have you got lights in your masjid? In the masjid of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no lights. Why you got lights? Respected elders, again, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Tamim Dari rahmatullah alayhi was the first person to institute the utilization of lights, meaning the lights of that day, using the oil and using the wick of that day, he brought that into the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the action of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahabi, which is a proof in Sharia. And we have got a hadith. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in a hadith that when you go to Masjid al-Aqsa, or if you cannot go to Masjid al-Aqsa, then send oil, zaytun oil, to Masjid al-Aqsa for the lights of Masjid al-Aqsa and for the lanterns of Masjid al-Aqsa, for the chandeliers of Masjid al-Aqsa, send zaytun oil. Meaning Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam categorically and clearly, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is approving of the action and he is stating clearly that yes, you can light, you can have the light in the masjid. Some people say, no, that why have you got kafat in your masjid? And why have you got chatayat in your masjid? In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, there was no chatayat, there was no floor, there was no carpeting. That's why we get hadiths, numerous hadiths of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially linked to the Laylatul Qadr. That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made sijda and when he got up, then the sand, the pebble should be on his forehead. And sometimes we get hadiths, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making sijda, and when he get up, then the soil, the wet soil, because of the rain coming through and wetting the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the wet soil effects on the forehead of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, Allama Shibli Nomani in Sirat al-Faruq, he writes clearly that in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that they used chatayis. Chatayis is like a straw mat. They used straw mats in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, action of Sahaba, action of a Sahabi. All the other Sahabis were there. They approved of it. No one objected to it. And alhamdulillah, that has taken place. Here I would like to mention something. Two other things I'll talk about, the mihrab and the minbar. But yeah, while it's in my mind, that most of our masajid, we have left one sunnah. The sunnah is that on Fridays, as per the narration in Abu Dawud, and the instruction of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should fumigate, meaning we should fragment, we should use a lot of ether in the masjid. And we should burn something that gives off a nice smell. And this is lacking in our country. And we should try, all those who are listening and all those who are coming from various masajid, that you should inquire, that are we having this in our masjid? And if you enliven the sunnah, which is absolutely dying off and dead in most areas, then according to the hadith, you will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Respected elders, very simple procedure that prior to the Jummah Salat, that either to burn some loban or burn some agarbati or burn, how they do it in the Harabain Sharifain, in both of the Harams, that they have got some proper stands, and in the stands they burn oud, and this alhamdulillah gives such a nice smell and makes it fragrant. So this is lacking and this should be attended to forthwith so that we revive a sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no minbar. There was no minbar. Then why have we got minbars? So again, Allama Badruddin Aini rahmatullahi alayhi says that the minbar was put into Islam because so that the population which was now spread. Remember in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that besides Masjid al-Nabawi in Madinatul Munawwara, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were 9 other masjids. There were 9 other masjids. In the Marasil of Abu Dawud, in the back, the names of these 9 masajids are mentioned. And these were in the various areas. Those who have been to Madinah to Munawwara, and Allah Ta'ala take all of us, these are various areas these masajids were there. Respected elders, in Masjid al-Nabawi, if azan was given, the people around, they could hear. They could hear it. In fact, there is one kitab written by Dr. Zabalana also, Muhammad Elias Abdul Ghani, about the houses of the Sahaba who stayed around Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is well documented and well researched with diagrams, etc. Respected elders, so when the azan was given, everybody was able to hear it. But when the population and habitat increased, then the minar was created. So the person got onto a high place. And when he got onto a high place, then alhamdulillah, he was able to call the azan. And when he called the azan, then people were able to hear it. And this was so that which is wajib, and that which is wajib is salat with jamaat, that takes place. Now these days, alhamdulillah, we have got the microphone system and the mic systems. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no official mihrab. Mihrab meaning that this dish here, this semicircular dish, according to Allama Samudi, who is an expert, Rahmatullah alayhi, on the blessed sites in Medina and Makkah, he says there was no niche. But according to other scholars like Allama Aini, Rahmatullah alayhi, etc., he said there was one niche which Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam had drawn for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, and that is where the Quran recitation should take between Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. Now these days, unfortunately, because of our lack of knowledge, we sometimes classify that which is there proven in Islam. We say, no, it is not proven in Islam. Respected elders, also people say that why in the darulums and in the madrasas and in the big Islamic institutes, why you have chuti on Friday? Why you have holiday on Friday? And where you got this from? Why do you have a holiday on Friday? Again, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who he should tell his military and tell his soldiers that when it comes to Friday, when it comes to the Yom al-Jum'ah, then suspend everything. You should tell them, suspend everything, stop all work, and wherever you are, you must camp. And wherever you are, you must stop. And wherever you are, you must tarry. And wherever you are, you must stop and take a breather, take a rest. And in that resting period, now you must oil your equipment, you must now look at your arms and ammunition, and you must prepare yourself for the next day. So for the day of Jummah, you must rest. So if a person, he declares for himself, and the Islamic country declares that Jummah is holiday, is absolutely permissible and absolutely proven in the light of the Sharia. Some people say that why you will have madrasas? And where do you get this maktabs? And where do you get that you must have a syllabus? And why do you have darulums? And why do you have institutes of learning? Again, short-sightedness. Because in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was the Ashab al-Sufa. And the Ashab al-Sufa was the first unofficial madrasa, darulum, maktab in the history of Islam. Because the Ashab al-Sufa were all the students of Islam, were all the disciples of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So learn, study, teach, and everything was happening. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the one teaching them, guiding them, aiding them. He was their spiritual mentor. Here one point, that when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find a raised platform. Attached to the room of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find one small platform. And then you find a gap. And then you find another raised platform. And your ignorant guide will tell you that's Ashab al-Sufa. He'll say that's the platform of Sufa. That's not the platform of Sufa. Because you know something very basic, that the Ashab al-Sufa, they should stay inside the masjid. And that raised platform in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it is today, was outside the masjid. So that raised platform is a security platform. That up to today you will find those people from the Ottoman Empire, From those Ottoman Empire, they should come and stand there with their military equipment. Up to today, they come there. They come there, they stand, they got a dummy military equipment. Respected elders, so you should take note of that. Why we have a syllabus? People say, oh, the syllabus is an innovation, it's a bidah. Respected elders, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not have to teach grammar to the Arabs. Because those Arabs were masters in the language. They knew syntax, they knew conjugation, and they knew noun declension, and they knew verb conjugation, they knew etymology, they knew grammar, they knew all those things. But in the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who Hazrat Ali realized that now that non-Arabs are coming into Islam and they don't know about the grammar. He was a person who started institutionalizing and constitutionalizing and putting into syllabus form the Arabic grammar. So, in order to learn the deen, in order to study the deen, you have to learn the Arabic grammar and put it into some form of syllabi and put it into some form of system. So there is absolutely, respected elders, absolutely nothing. Some people say that, why you got this compilation? Why do you have Bukhari compilation? Why do you have Muslim compilation? Why do you have Ibn Majah compilation? And they, out of ignorance, they say, no, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing happened. As I just mentioned in the starting of my speech, that in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Sahaba were writing, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, strengthen your memory with the use of your right hand. What do you mean? That by use of the right hand, meaning write it. So many Sahaba, one Sahabi came to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who at the latter part of his age had told him that you narrated one hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira says, see, I do not know. By a pass, we have to go home and check it. So they went to his house. And he had many books there, they said. And he took out one book and he checked in that book. He said, yes, the hadith is there. So the hadith was written in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders. So now in this age especially, because academic research has gone ahead, you will find those books which have been compiled before Bukhari are now coming onto the market. Some person may say that, why the Imam, he makes, after Farz Salat, he makes a loud dua. Remember, first of all, concerning that dua, the dua is proven. The dua is proven after Farz Salat. Secondly, that part of ethics of dua is to raise your hands. Thirdly, yes, it's supposed to be made softly and silently. Fourthly, the Imam is doing it loudly, audibly. Fatawa Al-Ghari says that if the muqtadis, the followers, they are not very well conversant with the dua, then the Imam should do it loudly so they learn the dua. Now let us be very honest, that most of the followers, they do not know these duas. So the Imam, he reads it a little bit orderly, so they learn the dua. But in a masjid, if the Imam is now confident that my followers know the duas, then he should make it silently, softly. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deen. This deen is very easy to understand. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to strictly adhere to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is salvation, pleasure of Allah, mercy of Allah, proximity of Allah, and bringing the barakah and blessings into our lives and our homes. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.